Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we could have listened to our brother all the rest of the time that we've had, but I am going to share just a few thoughts in relation to an exercise and burden that I've had on my heart for the last little while. And we are going to read Ephesians 5 and begin, please, at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought the men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they too, shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, I can hardly believe that I'm actually doing this. My name is not Dr. Dobson. It's not Dr. Higgins. And it's not even Dr. Joyce. And, of course, I feel totally incapable of handling a subject that deals with marriage. I mean, some of you here, I am looking at gray hairs, and some of you men could probably, from experience of maybe 40, 50, 60 years of married life, give very able ministry. And if you older ones need a little rest at this time, then you have my permission to do so. My convictions will be coming, I guess, from 17 years of marriage with my beloved Rachel. Actually, my message tonight will be geared towards the husbands. Maybe when I get up enough courage and maybe a little bit more experience, I'll speak to the wives. But tonight, my exercise is to talk to the husbands. Now, it has been mentioned already, and as I look out over this audience, I see that there are women here. There are young people here that are not married. You may say, well, I guess this message is not for me. Well, it is for you. Young men, listen up, because you need to know how to treat your future wives. Wives-to-be? Well, this is good ministry because it is the Word of God, and you will know what to expect from your husband when you get married. You present wives, well, this is certainly not bait for you to poke your husband and give him the I told you so look. This is ministry, I believe, that is for all of us, and we must understand husbands and wives, that we are all in the training of God. And God is working in us, and we must be careful, even in relation to our own earthly partners, to allow God to do His work. Now, one of the most wonderful aspects of marriage is that God has designed it to be a picture. A beautiful picture of Christ and the church. And a question that came to my mind as I was considering Ephesians 5 is this: is my marriage a good illustration of Christ and the church? I was reading John Piper in his book, This Momentary Marriage, and he said, the fundamental thing about marriage is that it is doing. It is the doing of God. The fundamental thing about marriage is that it is the doing of God. And the ultimate thing about marriage is that it is the display of God. Now, in addressing husbands, the Spirit of God gives us this very solemn command in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Also seen in verse 28 and verse 33. So what I would like to do in the final moments of this meeting is I would like to talk to you husbands and husbands-to-be about this love that you are to have towards your own wives. I want to talk, first of all, about the character of your love. I want to talk to you about the cause of your love. I'm going to speak briefly about the constancy of your love. And lastly, if there is time, we will just notice the consequences of your love. Now, when it comes to the character of your love towards your wife, there are two things that should define this love. In verse 25, first we are told, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, when I read a statement like that, I ask myself, well, how did Christ love the church? He gave, didn't he? He gave himself for it. Now, how many of you men are willing to give your lives for your wife? Now, I don't see too many hands going up, but I assume the most of you here would be willing to actually give your life for your wife. This reveals the depth of your love. How did Christ give himself? I've noted three ways. He gave himself willingly. This is more than just a one-time willingness to heroically die for your wife. This, I believe, is a daily attitude. There is a sense in which we were always in the heart of God. And we were always in the heart of the Lord Jesus. And He was always willing to give Himself for us. It just took the opportune time for Him to actually do it. This willingness is to set aside my own interests and my own pursuits and my own enjoyments for the needs of my wife. With the Lord, of course, He was sinless and there was no selfish motives, nothing but pure love. And Romans 15 says that Christ pleased not Himself. And from the moment those proverbial wedding bells rang, every vestige of selfishness should be forever replaced with willing love for the benefit of the one that you are married to. Now, brothers, this institution of marriage is not for the weak of heart. And it is not just a casual thing to enter into. It comes and it must be with the attitude of giving yourself willingly for your wife. But you know, the Lord Jesus, not only did He give Himself willingly, He gave Himself joyfully. His own words, He says, "I delight to do Thy will, O God." And again, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. It was not easy, but He did it joyfully because of who He was doing it for and the outcome of that sacrifice. Likewise, you men, you are to give yourself joyfully. You may not always feel like loving your wife. There will be mornings that you will, or your wife may, just possibly roll off the wrong side of the bed. She may not look just exactly the way she looked the day you said, "I do and I will." There may just be moments when she is not quite so beautiful in your eyes. But your love to her is not based upon feelings or temperament or looks or behavior. It is based upon choice. Your choice to love as Christ loved, and that is with a joyful heart. So the Lord Jesus, He gave Himself willingly. He gave Himself joyfully. He gave Himself sacrificially. In other words, He sealed His love for His bride in blood. He paid the ultimate price. He made the sacrifice that was necessary in order to make us His own. He loved us enough to give Himself. He loved us enough in order to die for us. He would rather have us than live without us. And so He was willing to die. Webster says, "To sacrifice is to offer up oneself for someone more precious." By the way, I stand with my brethren here, and probably less so. I'm definitely by no means a Greek scholar, but I do have lots of helps. And I notice in the study of this word love that it is not eros love, the sensual, physical, sexual love. It is not even the love of affection, the affection love of mutual tenderness and closeness, that filial love. But rather it is the agape love, best defined as seeking the highest good of the other person. Seeking the highest good of the other person. To agape your wife means to seek and to do what is best for her. And so if you are prone to be a workaholic and to spend your late hours at the office, then brother, you need to consider the needs of your wife. And spend less time at work. If you are prone to be lazy and to veg out on the couch all the time, then you need to get up off your bottom and get to work and do what needs to be done and show the necessary love to your wife. If you are a preacher and you tend to be away from home 95% of the time, then you need to reassess your work and reassess your responsibility to your own wife. And make sure that you meet the needs of your wife. You could easily, very, very easily insert 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7 over this relationship, over this God-given command to husbands. And I paraphrase, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or pride or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives in, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Now, I don't have time, but if I had time, I could take you down through each of these different qualities of love and directly apply them to the marriage relationship and to the command that God has given to husbands to love their wives. Just let me consider one for you. Love keeps no record of being wronged. If you are going to be effective and take the responsibility of loving your wife seriously and scripturally, then you will need to take the lead, my good brother, in forgiving your wife. The fact is, Christ forgave us. And He forgave us when we were most miserable and most unkind to Him and most rebellious and most difficult. Yet He loved us just the same. And so, if you have problems to deal with, and I don't know. I mean, I maybe once or twice have heard of a man stand and say that he has never had an argument with his wife. I just sit there and go, wow, man, I need to talk to this man. When you bring two individuals together from different backgrounds and different walks of life and different ways of thinking, and there's definitely going to be issues to deal with. And if there are issues, then my from my 17 years of short experience is deal with them. Get the issues out in the open and don't hide them and cover them up and let things grow and get bitter and hold grudges and allow things to fester. Deal with the problem. And as the scripture says, make sure that you deal with it before the sun goes down. So husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. I mean, what an example. What a tremendous, I mean, it is just staggering to think that we are commanded to love as Christ also loved the church. Verse 28 says, husbands, love your wives as you love your own body. Now, unless there is a mental or psychological problem, it is only natural for us to care for ourselves, to care for our own bodies. We make sure that we are well fed, and we make sure that we are clean, and we take We take good care of ourselves and we shield ourselves from the hurts outside. And when we rise in the morning, we make sure we go to the mirror and we get our morning fright, and then we clean ourselves up and make ourselves presentable for the rest of the day. We care for ourselves. And as natural as it is to nourish and to cherish ourselves, that's the two words that are used here, to nourish and to cherish ourselves, and as Christ does that for the church, so, men, you are to nourish and to cherish your wives. One man said, nourishing is what we do. Cherishing is how we do it. I nourish, I build up, I bring to maturity, I nourish because I cherish. And the two words remind us of the care that we are to care for our wives' needs. We are to protect them from hurtful influences. We are to build them up and we are to encourage them. I like what Peter says. Listen to this. You men, dwell with them. Dwell with them according to knowledge, showing honor. Showing honor. Again, we are responsible to know our wives and to understand their needs. This word honor is actually a beautiful word meaning to place great value upon, to treasure. And again, this is not an emotion, it is rather an action of the will. We are made in such a way that we will value what we begin to have feelings for. You don't hardly need me to tell you that we live in a world where women in general are demoralized and dehumanized and demobilized in a society that overemphasizes the body at the expense of the character. She is used and abused and confused by the culture that has cheapened her value to a mere sex symbol. The reality is that God has placed infinite worth and value upon the woman. She is a gift from God to you. And brothers and sisters, we need to guard that relationship. And brothers in particular, you are commanded to know your wife and to honor your wife and to stand against the pressures and to stand against the ideas of the world that's around us. Now, it's very insightful to go back to Genesis 2, and we're not going to turn to it, but where God there gave to Adam his wife and instituted the first marriage. And for the first time since creating the world, God said, "It is not good. It is not good that a man should be alone." Dr. Walt Larrymore, in speaking to a mixed audience about marriage one time, he asked the group to punctuate this particular sentence. "A woman without her man is nothing." Just about every male in the audience put the comma after "man." A woman without her man, comma, is nothing. Just about every woman put two commas, one after "woman" and the other after "her," reading, "A woman, comma, without her, comma, man is nothing." Little different slant on things. But God goes on to say, I will make for him a helper fit for him, or I will make him a helper fit for him, or corresponding to him, I will make him an azer, an aid for him. Now, I'm definitely not up, if I'm not up on my Greek, I'm definitely not up on my Hebrew, but the Hebrew word there is azer, E-Z-E-R. A word in the Bible, incidentally, that is only used of the woman and of God's saving action. One who succors, one who saves another from extremity, one who brings relief. You see, the wife, she is her husband's savior, little s. One who brings freedom from his aloneness and incompleteness and ineffectiveness and inefficiency. What is God asking of us men? What is God saying? Honor your wife. So, you husbands here today, it starts with you. It starts with us. Did you know? Did you men know that your sons are watching you? That they are looking at you and they are beholding how you are treating your wife? And not only how you are treating your wife, but how you are treating your daughters? Maybe I should ask, how are you training your sons to treat your daughters? Are you training your sons to respect their mother? Because what your sons learn of you men in the home will very, very often carry into their own relationships. Let me ask you young men. Yes, that's right. You young men here who are not married. How are you treating the young women that are in your own age group? Are you showing the necessary respect and the necessary honor and the necessary dignity that goes along with a sister in Christ? Are you treating them in purity and in respect? That's a challenge for you. So, the character of your love. You are to love them as Christ loved the church. You are to love them as your own body. What about the cause of your love? Verses 26 and 27. According to these verses, the purpose or cause for Christ giving himself for the church was first that he might sanctify her, secondly, to cleanse her, and thirdly, to present her to himself without spot or wrinkle. Now, I'm just going to make a couple of practical applications here for husbands. Because when I think of Christ sanctifying the church, the word sanctify is the word, the Greek word, hagios, holy. It comes from, rather, the Greek word hagios, to consecrate, to get dedicate, to separate. And so, when it comes to our wives, there should be no rivals in your affection for her. She should be totally set apart from all other women of the world. She is to occupy first place in all earthly relationships. But the word means more than just to set apart. It rather means to set apart for its original purpose. That's really what's behind the word sanctify or the word holy or the word hagios. To set apart for its original purpose. And it's not only just a biblical word. A piano is sanctified when someone sits down and plays it. Something as simple as your automobile, a car, is sanctified when you get behind the wheel and you do what it is originally designed to do. Now, you husbands have the responsibility to facilitate your wives in their God-given work. And what an honorable work God has given to our wives. I don't have time to go into 1 Timothy 5 and Titus 2 and 1 Peter 3, but their calling is rich and deep and important. So sanctify her, cleanse her. Christ set His bride apart and made her holy in a positional sense. But He also continues to cleanse her daily with the Word, with the washing of the Word. Just one simple application to us husbands here. You and I are responsible for the spiritual well-being of our wives. It is your responsibility as a husband to make sure that the Word of God is opened in your home and it is given and it takes priority in your home. And make sure, men, that you're not always off in your study or off in your own little office preparing for Bible study when your wife may be starving for a little bit of food. When her time is so devoted to the children and so occupied with the needs of a home and you're away doing your studying. Then it says that Christ presented. His purpose is not only to sanctify and to cleanse, but to present her to Himself. You know, this is a very interesting word which has a combination of thoughts. It means to bring near, to place beside, to provide, and to exhibit. You know, there's coming a day, a glorious day, and we've already been reminded of this, when Christ will bring His bride near to Himself, and He will place His bride with Him on eternal exhibit, and display her in all her beauty, having no spot or wrinkle. Now, I kind of don't think this is a mandate for you husbands to be responsible for making sure that your wives have no spots or wrinkles. She's probably quite capable of handling that one herself. But just let me focus for a moment on the idea of exhibiting or present, to display, as is in that word present. Could I ask you, men, how do you treat your wife in public? How do you treat your wife in public? Do you seek to present her before others in a positive light? Or do you somehow humiliate her in times of public, in areas of public where others are around? You know, I really hate it. I can honestly say this. I really hate it when I hear husbands publicly or in a group putting down their wives in maybe sometimes only in a jesting way. I take it that we should be very careful to honor our wives in public. Winston Churchill, and I guess with this one I'm going to have to close. Actually, I'm already gone over a minute, so 2 minutes won't hurt. Winston Churchill and his wife were at a banquet, a large banquet with a number of other dignitaries present. And at some point in the evening, the host called upon the dignitaries to address the audience and answer the question, if you could not be who you are, who would you most like to be? If you could not be who you are, who would you most like to be? And one by one, they all got up and gave their speeches of who they would like to be. And the time came, actually, Mr. Churchill was left to the last. And he stood and said, If I could not be who I am, and he paused and looked at Clemmy, his wife of many years, took her hand and said, I would like to be the Lady Churchill's second husband. Well, he won some points that day. Husbands, love your wives. The last two points, well, you'll get another time, or maybe you won't, but you can look into them in Ephesians chapter 5. I just trust that, well, there is actually one thing that I would like to say that I think is very important. I just, you know, preachers should never say, this is the last thing I'm going to say. Just take this, okay? A strong marriage is the result of a strong character in you men. It starts with being a man of integrity. And I stand before you today and I confess this. And it's to my shame that there were years in my marriage that I was not the man of integrity that I should be. And I was not as open as I should be. And it affected my marriage. So a strong character will lead to a strong marriage. Get this. A strong marriage will lead to a healthy family. You see, the thing perpetuates itself. And healthy families will lead to strong and healthy assemblies. Strong and healthy marriages will lead to healthy assemblies. And let me remind you, Satan is out to ruin God's assembly. And he'll do it by attacking our families and by attacking our marriages. So you